As we continue in worship, we have an opportunity to read upon the scriptures. I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. The words can be found there on the screen, as well as in the Pew Bible. It says, "If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this time of worship this morning, that we can gather to sing praises to you, to read upon scripture, to hear a word, and to experience community and love and fellowship as we give thanks in gratitude for all that you have done and been in our life. God, I ask that you speak through me and in spite of me this day, that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear what you have to say to us today. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Sometimes people ask me, what is a Methodist? What is a Methodist? And so with so many different churches around, denominations and what are non-denominational churches, they're really wondering if being a Methodist is still being a Bible-believing Christian church. And yes, being a Methodist is being a Bible-believing Christian church. For me, I always start with, yes, we believe in Jesus. And then we believe in Scripture, we believe in grace, we believe in community, and we believe in serving one another. At the annual conference this year in Corpus Christi, upon sign up, each of us was given this little book called Five Marks of a Methodist, written by Steve Harper. Steve Harper is a retired elder pastor in the Florida Annual Conference of the United Methodist Church, is a retired professor of spiritual formation and Wesley studies. Harper based these qualities of five marks of a Methodist on one of John Wesley's sermons called The Character of a Methodist, written a few years ago in 1742. As the Methodist movement grew, John Wesley wrote this sermon as a foundational document to provide sustaining strength for what Methodism would become. And in his sermon, Wesley describes the kind of person that he hopes the Methodist movement would produce. He describes a foundation that would last for a follower of Christ and which would sustain them during their lifetime and beyond. Wesley taught that true faith is not just believing or doing, but about a life and transformation. And so in response to the question, what is a Methodist? Wesley says, "A Methodist is one who has the love of God shed abroad in his heart by the Holy Ghost given unto him. One who loves the Lord, his God, with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his mind and with all his strength. God is the joy of his heart and the desire of his soul, which is constantly crying out, 'Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee, my God and my all. Through thou art the strength of my heart and my portion forever be. Wesley goes on to say that a Methodist is devoted to God, adores God, rejoices in God, trusts in God, prays to God, seeks to please God, and believes that all scripture is inspired by God. A Methodist loves people, is pure in heart, does good toward all people, and demonstrates fruits of a living spirit. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to look at these five marks of a Methodist, what Harper calls five marks of a Methodist. And the first mark of a Methodist that Harper mentions is a Methodist loves God. A Methodist loves God, not admires God, not just believes in God in an abstract sense, but loves God, is devoted to God with the whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. Wesley understood this love not as a feeling that arrives and departs on its own terms, but as a relationship that is tended and practiced and deepened in ordinary moments of the ordinary day. Because we live in the ordinary. The scripture that I read this morning is often read at weddings that we talk about two becoming one in marriage. I'll be reading it this next Saturday as I lead a marriage and a wedding in San Antonio. Talk about two families uniting and becoming one. And this unity may officially take place on that wedding day, but it's a lifelong process. The unity is a lifelong process of those ordinary moments experienced through better or worse, through sickness and in health, through poverty and richness, as the couple talks about in their vows. And even though we may hope that we know everything about our spouse before saying, I do, it's impossible. It's a life journey in which we continue to learn and grow and experience together, life together, in the unfolding of the ordinary. To be a Methodist is about becoming and growing in our ordinary life, that we're on a journey together. Wesley believed that God was present not only in the extraordinary, but in the mundane. And he wrote journals about the ordinary, about his meetings and meals and travels and conversations and illnesses and small kindnesses and small failures. He was not waiting for the extraordinary moments, but he was paying attention to the ordinary ones. But in all things, Wesley knew that our relationship with God must start with love. We are dearly loved by God. And it says in Romans 8 that nothing can separate us from that love in Christ Jesus our Lord. The love that Jesus instructed us, loving God and loving others with our whole soul, mind, and strength, and the type of love that loves others as ourselves, and the type of love that Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians 13, the type of love that God shows us, and the type of love that God calls us to show one another. Patient, kind, abundant, not proud, envious, or easily angered. Our life in Christ begins in the fact that we are loved by God. And we allow that to infiltrate and influence who we are in our everyday. We love God because God first loved us. And in the book, Harper writes that the first mark of discipleship isn't a call to increase our love, but to receive God's love. The ability to love God comes from God. This is no self-help effort, no intensification of our devotion through our spiritual version of trying harder. But the call to love God is a call extended by none other than God. And so Wesley didn't think that we can't sustain that love of God. Couldn't be sustained by our own willpower or trying harder, but only as an invitation to receive love from the source of grace. And so Wesley desired for that love to be sustained, not just over an emotional retreat, weekend retreat, or a season of renewal, but over a lifetime. And so in order to help guide that, he created structures and methods in which love of God could be sustained. Class meetings and band meetings, small groups of people meeting together and talking about life together, the general rules, means of grace, scripture and communion, not because those produce love automatically, but because love requires conditions to grow. Just like a vine requires soil and water and light and pruning, a vine doesn't grow by trying harder. And so Wesley's vision of sanctification is a way of becoming in the world in the ordinary moments of life, to continue to be deepened in our faith and challenged and renewed, always moving in the direction of Jesus. Some days we move quickly, some days we barely move, some days we may move backwards, but the direction is set and the orientation is what matters. So friends, what does your life contain that helps you sustain the love of Jesus over time? What does your life actually contain that sustains the love of Jesus over time? Not whether you love God right now in this season, in this feeling, but whether you've built conditions in which the love of God can survive in those seasons when it feels absent. The dry seasons, the seasons of grief or exhaustion or doubt, the seasons when faith feels like a habit and God feels like a concept, those challenging seasons. You see, many of the people that Wesley was in ministry with were already members of a church. And so Wesley wanted them to grow and to move, to go from this season, this maybe way of being superficial to being people of substance, and to not worry so much about churchianity and focus on Christianity, and not so much worry about membership, but discipleship. And so Wesley said the first mark of a Methodist is loving God. And through that love, the people are led to a deeper life in Christ that is grounded in this first mark of our relationship. Let us pray. Gracious God, we love you and thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for your love that you have already poured upon our life. Even before we even knew who you were, you loved us. Even while we were yet sinners, you died for us. And so, Lord, may we, in response to that love that we can never earn, live our life as people who love others. And may everything we say and do be based out of that love. God, guide us and direct us as we open ourselves up to you, that you may show us who and how we can better show your love to others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.